ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोश्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः. भगवान् शंकराचार्य इज ब्यूटिफुल्ली डिस्क्राइबिंग द कैरेक्टरिस्टिक्स ऑफ ए स्थितप्रज्ञ. वी आर कंटिन्यूइंग. More or less, we have gone through all these things before. So now, we will be continuing further what Shankaracharya has to say. When a Jivanmukta's body falls off, what happens? Does he go anywhere? No, he doesn't go anywhere. He has not come from anywhere. He is also not going to go anywhere. Then what happens? Just like the space in a pot, enclosed in a pot. When the pot is broken, it looks as though space was divided. Before the pot came, space was one unbroken mass. The pot came and divided it. Now the pot is gone. Again that small space has become merged in the bigger space. That is what the impression ordinary people get. The truth is, since the Atman is everywhere, Bhagavan is everywhere, even if he wants to go somewhere, he cannot go. He cannot come, he cannot go, he is infinite, he is eternal. Any coming and going requires time and space, and he is beyond time and space. This fact is being reminded. Lord Shankaracharya is giving us repeated reminder. At first, this idea looks very bizarre, but in course of time, it becomes acceptable. After some time, that becomes very reasonable. After some time, that alone becomes the fact, and that is how we progress from a lower state of consciousness to a higher state of consciousness. So, in the 565th verse, Ghatenaste yatha vyoma, vyomaiva bhavati sphutam, tathaiva upadhi vilaye, brahmayeva brahmavit svayam. As when a jar is broken, the space enclosed by it becomes palpably the limitless space. So, when the apparent limitations are destroyed, the knower of Brahman verily becomes Brahman itself. Here this particular word we have to pay attention. Becomes means earlier he was not and now he has become. That is not. If earlier something was not and it becomes, later on also it unbecomes. Whatever becomes also becomes unbecomes. So it has not gone anywhere. It has not come from anywhere. It is not going to go anywhere. This is the most wonderful idea. All the changes take place not in God, not in Atman, but cognition, the mind's thinking. Mind was thinking, God was somewhere, and I prayed, he came and he took me there. When true knowledge dawns, then the jiva understands, I was never a jiva, not I was a jiva, and by God's grace I became Brahman. That's a wrong idea. I was never a jiva, I thought I was a jiva, that was like a dream, the dream was broken, I thought I had gone somewhere, now I know I was lying all the time in my own bed. That was what we discussed in our last class. Then further, Shankaracharya is giving a beautiful clarification to the above idea. A small space, apparently small, becomes big at the destruction of the enclosing pot. There are three types of unions. This is what Shankaracharya wants to speak about. We will first read out the verse, then come to the explanation. And by the way, this analogy has been taken from the Upanishads itself. In so many Upanishads, There they give, just as water is poured in water, the Jivatma becomes one with Paramatma for the facility of our understanding, not really in truth. So, 566th verse. Kshiram kshire yatha kshiptam, tailam taile, jalam jale, sanyuktam ekatam yati, tatha atmani atmavit munihi. As milk poured into milk, oil into oil, and water into water becomes united and completely one. So the sage who has realized the Atman becomes one in the Atman. Again, we have to be careful. Becomes one means not that he was not in the Atman, but apparently in the mind. So here we are talking about complete unity. You pour water into water. So what was earlier and what was poured later on, you cannot distinguish it. Similarly, oil. Similarly, milk. Milk, oil and water. Three beautiful examples. What is the meaning? Milk and milk, there is absolutely no difference. Oil and oil, there is no difference. Water and water, there is no difference. Pour water, for example, in milk. Does it appear to be one or different? Appears to be absolutely one. But it is not true, because through the process of heating it up, the milk can be separated, water can be also separated. So I was talking about three types of unions. So you take two pieces of, one piece of wood and one piece of iron, and drill a hole and make it a beautiful table, a beautiful chair, a beautiful cot, a beautiful house. Absolutely, they look as one. But no, you take this screwdriver and unscrew it, so the wood becomes wood, the iron becomes iron. However close they are, they may appear to be absolutely inseparable, but they are completely separable. That is the worst type of union. A better type of union is you pour salt or sugar, such material, in water or milk. Now when you pour sugar or salt in water or milk, then you can see only the milk or the water. You don't see either the salt or the sugar. It appears to be absolutely one. But heat the milk, heat the water, and the salt will be the desalination. This is what the sun god is doing 24 hours a day without the least bit of holiday or rest. He sucks up all the water from the sea, and on the seashore, you will get huge lumps of salt. What was he doing? Separating through heat the water from the salt water. Salt water is a beautiful word, because if it was water, we should have used only the word water. But the very word we are using, sweet water, sugared water or salt water, means they are two substances appearing as one, but in reality as completely two. How do we know they are two? Because whatever is two, whatever is not one, there is a process by which we can separate them absolutely. But if you, this is the second type of union. Then we come the absolute union. What is absolute union? You pour water in water. You do any process. You cannot separate, because it is one substance mixed with one substance. This is the type of union. We have to understand Jivatma is not like the wood and iron pieces. It is not like salt or sugar to be put in Paramatma. It is a Paramatma. And in fact, it was never separated, but it seemingly separated. This experience we have throughout in our dream time. How many times we are sleeping in our here, and we find any other place, any other time, we are safe and sound here, completely secure. But we might have tremendous pleasure somewhere, or we can go through terrible amount of agony, but upon waking up, we find that nothing had happened. That's why the example of dream is given all the time. And of course, the most famous example is mistaking a rope for a snake. These two are very common examples. Of these two, this dream example is much more pervasive, much more explanatory than even Rajju Sarpa Bhranti, a rope and snake hallucination. This is what Shankaracharya is trying to drill into our mind. The Jivatma, so-called Jivatma, has never been united with the body-mind. Just like light reveals every object, light envelops every object. Without light, no object can be perceived or experienced. And yet, let there be objects, let there not be objects. The presence or absence of objects does not touch the light at all. Another example that we give is a cinema screen. Sometimes there is fire, sometimes there is rain. All these things absolutely do not affect the screen. Just put up the projector, the film, and you will see the same screen absolutely untouched. That is the example we have to take here, that the Jivatma, Paramatma never became divided, because the nature of Paramatma is infinite and akhanda. But looked at through the prism of time, space and causation, in other words, through the mind, the Paramatma seemed to be divided into infinite number of separate objects. So, when milk is poured into milk, oil is poured into oil, water is poured into water, they become completely unified because they are not mixing with a different substance, but absolutely substance is only one. Tatha, exactly in the same way, Atma vit Munihi. So, a Muni, a person who has realized God by thinking of Him constantly, realized the Self, Atmani, he knows. I was thinking I was Jivatma, now I know I am Paramatma. This is before realization. After realization, was thinking, am thinking, absolutely will be totally absent. Continuing, Maya kliptau bandha mokshau nastaha swatmani vastutaha yatha rajyau nishkriyayam sarpa abhasa vinirgamau. Bondage and liberation, which are conjured up by Maya, do not really exist in the Atma. Once reality had the appearance and exit of the snake, do not abide in the rope, which suffers no change. As we noticed earlier, Shankaracharya is par excellent in the art of employing analogies, similes. Practically, he gives a simile in every one of these verses. He is here giving, here is a rope, and in semi-darkness someone looks at it and mistakes it for a snake. But when light is brought, what does this person say? The snake has not come out, the snake has not gone. Upon light, before light, snake has come out. And upon the light is brought, then the snake has crawled away, disappeared. No, there was no snake earlier, there was no snake later. What remained constantly without any change is the rope, Rajju. And any change that takes place requires activity. Activity means transference of energy. So, when energy transforms itself into matter, it does so through the medium of time, space and causation. So, here the snake has not come. So, anything that doesn't move through time, space, causation is called Nishkriya, Kriya means activity, Nishkriya means non-activity. Activity means time, space and causation. Inactivity means beyond time, space and causation. Any change is an activity. Person is small, he becomes big. He is poor, he becomes rich. He is illiterate, he becomes literate. He has ordinary knowledge, he becomes a great scholar. There is a change. Change means this person must have worked a great amount of time and great amount of movement, great amount of motivation. This is called time, space and causation. But the rope never had the desire to become a snake. Therefore, it doesn't work. If we do not have a desire, we will not work. If we do not work, we don't need time, space and causation. Then you may ask, even if I sit idly, my body will grow. Yes, you do not grow your body because it is a matter of time, space and causation. It took birth and it grows, it becomes old, decays, subject to disease, and one day it has gone back from where it has come. This is what Shankaracharya wants to do. Yatha, just as Nishkriyayam Rajyo, in the rope which is absolutely inactive. Sarpa Bhasa Vinirgav. Sarpa means snake, Abhasa means appearance, Vinirgama means disappearance. The appearance as well as the disappearance of the snake, both are only appearances. Rope never became a snake and never again went back to its ropeness. Tatha, exactly in the same way, this bandha and moksha, dual sense is observed here. Bandha means bondage. I was in a bound creature. Now, by the grace of the Guru, by the grace of God, by dying in Varanasi, I became completely free. These are all just cognitions, thoughts in the mind. Maya Kliptav. What is the cause of these ideas? These sometimes I am suffering, sometimes I am enjoying, and I think I am suffering and enjoying. These are mere waves on the lake of the mind. What causes them? The breeze of Maya. Maya Kliptav. Imaginations, limitations imposed by some mysterious power called Maya. In fact, Swaatmani, Vastutaha means in fact, in reality, Swaatmani, in one's own self, Bandha Mokshav, bondage and liberation, Na Staha, they do not exist at all. Bondage and liberation, which are conjured up by Maya, do not really exist in the Atman. One's reality, the appearance and exit of the snake, do not abide in the rope, which suffers no change. Same idea is being slightly elaborated and put in a slightly different way of language. Bandhascha mokshascha mrisha eva mudaha buddhehe gunam vastuni kalpayanti trigavritim meghakritam yatharavau yataha advaya asangachit ekam aksharam. Bondage and liberation, both are attributes of the buddhi, which ignorant people falsely superimpose on the reality. And then he gives an analogy. As the covering of the ice by a cloud is transferred to the sun, for this immutable Brahman is knowledge absolute, the one without a second and unattached. First we will deal with the last line. What is the nature of this Brahman? Immutable. Mutable means changeful. Mutable means that which mutates, changes, becomes something else. Brahman cannot change because for change, time is required, space is required, some motivation is required. First of all, why? If you want to change something from one state to the other, before it was unchanged, then it was changed. So it takes time. You are on the other side and you want to turn to this side. So it takes a second or two to move even in the bed. That is, Brahman is infinite. Where is it going to change? It cannot. Because it cannot change, it is beyond time. And that is why it is said, Advayaha. It is one without a second means only one. One means infinite, all pervading. Asangam. Now, for any change to take place, there must be a cause. Somebody came and pushed you, or some mosquito has bitten you, so or it is a bit of cold and you want to turn towards a warmer place or escape from the mosquito. Asangaha. Brahman is totally nirlipta, like akasha, like this space. So there is no causation, there is no second one, because it is advaya, to bring about. No mosquitoes are there for Brahman to turn over. So it is asanga. Chit, it is of the nature of pure knowledge. Any change takes place in knowledge. What is the knowledge? I was knowing person, now I became an ignorant person, and after some time again I became a knowing person. I'll give you a beautiful example. We know many things. Our brain has understood many things and kept many things in memory. But what happens? Suppose an incident happened, maybe 50 years back, and now you don't even recall. And somebody who witnessed that incident, he will meet you and he will remind you. And slowly you are jogging your memory. Oh, is that what? No. That's not what happened. The other fellow reminds you, this is what happened. Ah, you are right. Now I remember. So what are we talking about? There is a change in the cognition, knowledge. Previously, a little time after that incident occurred, you remember it crystal clearly. In course of time, that memory slowly fades away. And then a time will come when you do not even remember it, until somebody came and reminded after a long time, and then you remember, oh, first vaguely, then a little more clearly, and then completely, yes, as if the event had taken place only a few days back. Now, what I am trying to tell you, there was knowledge, that knowledge was covered, and that knowledge was uncovered, and now you remember it. This is the process of recollecting the knowledge. It is also important for us to understand, many things we know, they are all in memory. Nothing is forgotten, nothing is lost. But then what happens? We do not remember, because the key to access that event, that is somehow it has become weak. That is why the event's memory has not gone, but the facility of accessing that memory, as we become aged or as some disease can come. Old age, of course, is a very natural thing. They say about old age that long-distant memories start coming. Short-time memories become slowly faded. I cannot remember whom I met 3 days before, but I can crystal clearly remember something that has taken place long back. But here, something very interesting. Until this event, which is my short-term memory, starts to become weaker and weaker, I have been totally absorbed in short-time memory. When it starts becoming weaker, then the long-time memory slowly comes back. It is because of the strength of that long-time memory. Anyway, the point is that the Brahman's knowledge, no change takes place. So, four characteristics fact, it is Aksharam. Kshara means, in Bhagavad Gita we are treating it, Akshara Brahma Yoga, that which changes. Perishes means that which changes. We have to be careful about the usage of the words. Sometimes perishes means completely gets destroyed, goes out of existence. Vedanta never accepts such view. Something goes out of our experienceability. It becomes as if invisible. It is not really manifest. It remains unmanifest. So there is nothing called true death at all. Every object is nothing but Brahman. Therefore, like Brahman, everything is imperishable. Kshara means perishable. Everything in this world is perishable. Perishable means it sometimes becomes experienceable, sometimes becomes non-experienceable. But this Brahman, there is no way, because the ever-witnessing Sakshi, he says, at all times, either I know or I know I do not know. But there is no blocking his self-awareness, I know. There is no blocking that nature. So, Advayaha, Asangaha, Chit, Aksharam. Four characteristics, that is what I am. So, what is the relationship? What are we talking about? Bandhascha, Mokshascha, Mrisha. My becoming bound. My means Paramatmas. Becoming bound and Mokshascha. After some time, my becoming free. Both are Mrisha. Mrisha means unreal, untrue, mithya, absolutely wrong, absolutely false. Mrisha. But this is the view of the people, that I was bound by the grace of God through sadhana and with the help of Guru. I was bound, but now I have become free. This is a thought entertained only by whom? Mudhaha. Fools, deluded people, ignorant people. Ignorant of not the world. Sometimes these mudhas are very, very intelligent people. Ignorant of what? Only their true nature. But these people are sometimes very sharp. Lawyers, doctors, businessmen, worldly wise people, they are there. But they are called mudhaha people because they know or they have plenty of knowledge about perishable things. They have no knowledge that they are imperishable, that they are the Atman, each soul is potentially divine, completely ignorant about that fact. Such a person is called mudha. But coming back to the subject, as I am bound, as well as I am released, bandhascha mokshascha, buddhehe gunam. These are changes that happens in the buddhi, which is a part of the mind. The buddhi says, with firm force, I know I was bound. Don't talk to me about Advaita. I know my guru came and helped me. God was gracious. I became free. Swami Vivekananda gave a big blow to people at the Parliament of Religions. He said that if you people, means predominantly Christians, claim that man is a born sinner, he is a sinner by nature, by very birth he has become born. So if that is the truth, they are never ever going to become freed from sin, because one's nature cannot be changed. No. Swami Vivekananda clarified, you are children of immortal bliss. Shrunvantu Vishve Amrutasya Putraha. Well, what about this birth then? Well, this you have done something wrong. So, some wrong thoughts have been generated in your mind and you are thinking, I was born and I was a sinner, and by worshipping God, adoring God, praying to God, one day I will go to heaven, kingdom of heaven, and I will become free. Well, my dear sir, if your nature is sinful, forever it will be sinful. But if your nature is immortal, but you are thinking mistakenly that you are a sinner, then your true nature will never allow you to become bound. Temporarily, it is an impediment. But sooner or later, you are going to recover or rediscover your own true nature. This is the essence of this one. Bandhascha mokshascha buddhehe gunaha vastuni. Vastuni means in the Atma. Vastu means object. Real object is only one, which is God. Everything else is avastu. This is a special word in ordinary parlance. Vastu means object. A chair is an object, a tail is an object. But in Vedantic terminology, Vastu means only Brahman. Everything is Mithya. So, in the Atman, Mudha, ignorant people, Kalpayanti, they go on exercising their imagination. I was bound, I suffered, then I have become free. Now, there is something a little subtler you have to understand. If anybody thinks I am bound, he had an idea, at one time I was not bound. For some reason, I have become bound, and for the same reason, I am going to be freed also. So, these are the thoughts in the buddhi, vastuni kalpayanti. He gives a simile, an analogy. What is it? On a beautiful sunlit day or at midnight, you go out. The sky is very clear. This is fierce sun is shining. After some time, you see a great black cloud comes and then the sun seems to disappear from your sight. If you know a little bit, what do you think? I am not able to see the sun because of this cloud. Who created the cloud? It is because of the clouds are formed because of what? Because of the sun. So, the sun creates the clouds, and those very clouds created by the sun cover up the sun, and I am not able to see the sun because of the cloud. And I say that these clouds which have been created by the sun are obstructing my vision of the sun. These are foolish, ignorant thoughts, because you go and ask to the sun, as I used to make fun, you go to the sun and say, good morning. He says, good, I understand. What is morning? For the sun, there is no morning. At one time, he will be very mild. After some time, he becomes wild. And in the end, again, he disappears. This is purely a human characteristic. No, the sun says, what clouds are you talking about? I don't know anything. But there are clouds. If there are clouds, God bless them. But I have nothing to do with them. But what do foolish human beings think? That it is the sun who created the clouds which are obstructing my vision of the sun. Just like that, we are unable to see Paramatma because Paramatma created the Maya, and that Maya is making me incapable of perceiving the Paramatma. These are all foolish ideas. So, at one time, I was able to see God, then this Maya Megha had come, covered up my eyesight, and then by the grace of God, the clouds disappeared. I am able to see the Paramatma again. Oh, what a relief. These are all foolish ideas. The sun doesn't know. Paramatma doesn't know what is called Maya. Paramatma doesn't create. He says, I have nothing to do with creation or anything else. Such a beautiful so-called contradictory idea takes some time to digest by all of us. But that is the truth. Why is it a truth? I will add a small note here before we go further. Supposing God decides to create this world, really, and he creates this world, and because of that creation, I am unable to perceive him. If I am unable to perceive him, I go on praying to him. And do you know what is called an inability to perceive? It means I have a lot of problems. I am suffering. Nobody wants to suffer. So this is called bondage, means what? Suffering. Here also some other point you have to keep in your minds. Suppose there is a man, very wealthy. He is very young, very strong, very idealistic, and very energetic person, very knowledgeable person. And he knows how to avoid all troubles, and he is able to enjoy things. What is that state? Is it a happy state or is it an unhappy state? Is it a bondage or is it liberation? According to Vedanta, sarvam dukkham vivekinaha. For a discriminating person, the more a person is enjoying, the worse his bondage is. Why? If a person is suffering more, then it makes him restless to become free from suffering. If a person is enjoying to the extent he is enjoying, he doesn't struggle I am suffering so much from eating rasagulla, he will never think. He thinks, let me continue in this bondage for a long, long time. So, sarvam dukkham vivekinaha. Not only dukkham is dukkham, sukham is also dukkham from the viewpoint of the discriminating people, and more sukham, that is more dukkham. So, this is what we have to understand. Paramatma never creates this world. He doesn't even know about creation. He cannot create because he doesn't have any desire. He doesn't have any implements. And he doesn't have a space. He doesn't have a time. Therefore, he cannot create. Then what is all this business about? So much elaborate description of he is the Srishtikarta, he is the Palanakarta, he is the Layakarta. This is to make us, take us nearer to God. My friend, God created you, that means you are a creation of God, that means you are coming from God, that means you are part of God, that means you are also like God. So do not ever forget, you are not coming from your parents' bodies, you are actually coming from the Divine Lord. So now claim your childrenship, citizenship. I belong to you, I have a right. This idea is so beautifully propagated by Sri Ramakrishna that a tamasic bhakta wants to claim, I am my mother's child. I have got a right for my mother's property, wealth, etc. If you don't give me in a nice manner, I will fall upon you, bind you, take away my share of the property. In other words, each soul is potentially divine. And you claim that whole life, whole evolution is struggling to get back to its real state. That is the true meaning of evolution. Then there is a beautiful Upanishad, the smallest Upanishad, and that is called Mandukya Upanishad. 12 mantras. Shankaracharya has written commentary, and earlier to that, a great commentary was written in the form of beautiful karikas, shlokas, by Shankaracharya's grand guru, Gaudapadacharya. More than 500 shlokas are there. There, the ultimate conclusion he comes and tells is, God is neither caused by anything, that is, Paramatma or Brahman is causeless, Brahman is also effectless. He is not born from something else and he doesn't create anything else. In fact, then what is this world? The world is mithya. If the world is mithya, a sadhaka is mithya. A sadhaka is mithya, sadhana is mithya. If sadhana is mithya, siddhi is also mithya. So that is the idea. Na nirodho na cha utpattihi, na bandho na cha sadhakaha. Na mumukshur vai, na vai muktaha, ityesha paramarthata. So, Shankaracharya literally lifted, copyrighted property, plagiarized from his own grand guru. So, of course, you know, the grand guru cannot take him to court because he is grandson. Therefore, he has taken freely. There is neither death nor birth, neither a bound nor a struggling soul, neither a seeker after liberation, nor a liberated one. This is the ultimate truth. This is the highest truth. Then I was never bound. So why should I do sadhana? Foolish fellow, your saying is also forced out of your mouth. Your every breath, what are you saying? I want to be free. Soham, soham, ajapa, ajapa is coming with every breath. Why am I bound in this body? I want to enjoy many things. What is the greatest obstruction? This limited body. I want to eat all the sweets in a sweet shop. But I am unable to eat. Why? Because of the stomach. And Swami Vivekananda puts it beautifully, we are all bound by this body, by this mind, by time, space and causation. If I had the freedom, I would like to fly through this wall. But I cannot fly. I have to create a door. And if somebody locks me up from outside, then I have to go on crying helplessly. Every step, stop breathing for a single second, then you will understand what is called bondage. So we are bound, but with every breath, what is it? I want to be free. Not I want to live. I want to be free. I want to be free. Freedom is the song that the soul is singing eternally. This is the idea. Na utpatti, there is no creation. Na nirodha, there is no end of creation or death of creation. Na bandha, there is absolutely no bondage. If there is no bondage, there is no one struggling to get out of bondage. Nacha sadhaka, there is no sadhaka. Na mumukshu, there is no person who is desiring to attain God. Na vaimukta, after doing sadhana, for bahunam janmanamante, jnanavan mam prapadyate, vasudeva sarvamite, samahatma sudurlabha. After many births, and after doing terrible sadhana, then ultimately I know everything is God, so I am also God. Such a thing is just a fancy idea in the mind. Na muktaha, there is nobody that is freed. Why? Because when you are never bound, where is the question of you are always free? Even this idea of freedom is coming only from the idea of bondage. In deep sleep, do you think that I am bound? Do you think that I am doing sadhana? Do you think that I have become free? Absolutely, only in waking state as well as dream state. This is the highest truth. This is the ultimate truth. In fact, this is the truth. But we understand this truth not through intellect and not at any time so long as we are here. When we become or when we seem to regain our own true nature, claim our own swarajya, then they can, what a foolish fellow I had been. I was struggling all the time. I was in my own bed. Nobody had created me any problem. So this is the highest idea. It is just intellectual idea, true, but at this moment it remains only an intellectual idea. So do not think second time about this. Now you are here and you have got a long distance to go, then do not tarry, just go on struggling. The Guru is closing this teaching to his beloved disciple. He says, Sakala Nigama Chuda Swanta Siddhanta Guhyam Param Idam Ati Guhyam Darshitam Te Maya Adya Apagata Kalidoshaha Kama Nirmukta Buddhi Tat Atulam Asakritvam Bhavaya Idam Mumukshuhu. Guru is saying, I have today, O my beloved student, repeatedly revealed to thee as to one's own son this excellent and profound secret, which is the inmost purport of all Vedanta, the crest of the Vedas, considering thee an aspirant after liberation, purged of the taints of this dark age, and of a mind free from desires. So the Guru is telling, addressing his student. What is he telling? You are not ordinary student. You are endowed with certain qualities. What are the qualities? First thing he says, avagata kali doshaha. You are free from all the defects of this Kalikala. What are the defects of Kalikala? Ramakrishna said, everybody, every one of us are bound by this kali dosha. What are the kali doshas? Only two cases. What is it? Kama and Kanchana, that's all. Lust and gold, nothing else. If you remove these two cases, then you have no case at all. You are completely free. Apagata kali doshaha, through long sadhana, O my child, you have made your body also pure to the extent possible, but you have made your mind extremely pure. That means you have become completely desireless of any worldly object, excepting one desire. What is that one desire? Yeah. I want to God. I want to be free. Kama nirmuktaha. You are free from all desires, excepting one desire. Only one desire. What is that? I want to obtain the grace of God and reach Him, in devotee's language. So, mukta buddhi. Your buddhi, your mind, has become completely free from every type of imaginable desire. Tat atulam. And it is such a buddhi, it is absolutely ready. You have become a mumukshuhu. So, what is the guru telling? You are a fit student. And I am happy to pass on this knowledge to you. So, what is the greatness of this knowledge I am going to pass to you? Sakala, Nigama, Chuda, Swanta, Siddhanta, Guhya. Nigama means Vedas. Sakala, Nigama, all Vedas. Chuda, the very essence. Chuda means the peak. Like the Everest is the highest peak in all mountains. That what is the highest, the very essence of every Veda, the essence of Vedas is called Vedanta. Vedanta means Upanishads. The teachings of the Upanishads means what is it? Swanta Siddhanta Guhyam. Very secret teaching. Guhyam means extremely precious, extremely protected, but deeply hidden. Guhyam. This Siddhanta. Siddhanta means ultimate teaching. Swanta. It is there about your true nature. Param. This is the highest truth. Ati Guhyam. Extremely secretive. Secretive in the sense, not that it should be given only to one's lineage. It means very few people have the capacity to understand. Guhyam. Maya adyate darshitam. Today, I have told you, I have shown it to you. I have crystal clearly made you understand it. How many times? Asakritvam. Again and again and again. I have told you again and again. But you have to do manana again and again. Asakritvam bhavaya idam. He mumukshuhu. O seeker of liberation, whatever teaching I have given you, this is the greatest, highest teaching, the very essence of all Vedas, and I have given to you in crystal clear times, not one time, but infinite number of times, innumerable times, asakru. And now having heard from me, Shravana, you have to do manana, and you will have to attain nididhyasana. This of course is not addressed to the disciple who attained liberation. Through that disciple, he is giving that teaching to us. The second interpretation is, this person, in his own right, he was a right disciple and he had faith in Guru's teachings and he did sadhana exactly as his Guru taught him and he attained that knowledge, I am Brahman. In his turn, automatically, he had become a Guru and he is passing. This knowledge I got by the grace of my Guru and I became free and I can tell you the same secret. Provided you are also a person, yogya, sishya, mumukshuhu, I am going to pass. With this, Vekchudamani practically come to an end. Seeing the disciple, completely realized soul, the guru blessed him. What did the disciple do? Iti shrutva gurur vakyam prashrayena kritanatihi sa tena samanagnataha yayau nirmukta bandhanaha. Hearing these words of the Guru, the disciple out of reverence prostrated himself before him and with his permission went his way freed from bondage. Iti shrutva gurur vakyam. Gurur vakyam iti shrutva. Gurur vakyam. The teaching instruction of the Guru iti. Paying attention. Shrutva means not with half-hearted, 100% concentrated mind. With 100% shraddha, he became completely freed. Prashrayena. Now he understood. But by the grace of the Guru, and it is the grace of God in the form of the Guru, I would never have been able to realize. I will ever be grateful to you. So what is prashrayena? Great humility. Krita anatihi. He bowed himself to the Guru. Then Guru, like Sri Ramakrishna, gave permission to the Totapuri Maharaj, now you have learnt your lesson, now you can go. Until that time he was bound. Saha, that disciple, tena, by that guru, samanugnataha, bidden farewell by the Sadguru with the greatest joy, nirmukta bandhanaha, completely free from all bondage, yayau. That means he went away. That means he started roaming the world, and because that is his next from the, what he learned from the guru, he has to pass it on to his disciples. Then here is the next verse, 577. Guru is being praised. Guru Resha Sadananda Sindhau Nirmagnam Anasaha Pavayan Vasudham Sarvam Vichachara Nirantaraha. The Guru, he had instructed the disciple, he made the disciple free, his duty was completely over. Now he has to get another victim who was also ready to get and give his teachings. Esha Guruhu, this Sadguru who made this disciple freed. If a person can make one disciple free, that means he himself must have been more than free. Sadananda Sindhau. Sindhu means ocean. Sada Ananda Sindhau. Complete Nirmagna Manasa. His mind is completely immersed forever where Sada Ananda Sindhau. In the ocean of Sachidananda. Ocean of divine indescribable bliss. Pavayan Vasudham Sarvam. Purifying the whole earth. Because their very breath is for the good of the whole world. Sarvam, Vasudham Sarvam. Wherever God's will takes him, because he had no will. Nirantaraha Vichachara. Joyfully, he goes seeing Brahman everywhere and seeing the apt disciples and trying to pass on his own teaching to somebody else. Iti acharyasya shishyasya samvadena atmalakshanam nirupitam mumukshunam sukhabodha upapattaye. Thus, by way of a dialogue between the teacher and the disciple, has the nature of the Atman been ascertained for the easy comprehension of seekers after liberation. Now, this is Shankaracharya's words, the author's words. What is he telling? Iti, I have conveyed this highest teaching, the very essence of the Vedas, Vedanta, Upanishads of every scripture without hiding anything in crystal clear terms so that any disciple who is fit to understand, he will be able to comprehend it very easily. That is why about Sri Ramakrishna, the beautiful song, Eshache Nutan Manush, Degvi Judi, Aichale, come, come. A new man has come. Let us all go. Then what is his greatness? So many epithets were there. Saral kothai shikhale. You have taught the highest truths, the simplest of the words. And what are those words? The gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, Sri Sri Ramakrishna, Kathamritam. Iti acharyasya. Thus, the conversation, dialogue between the disciple and the Sadguru, and what type of subject it is, Atma Lakshanam, all about the nature of the Atman, nature of the disciple, and how he could attain to his own nature, Nirupitam, completely without the least bit of doubt, that highest knowledge has been proved very well, and Mumukshunam, anybody who is desirous of that same liberation, they should be able to understand it. Sukha bodha upapattaye. For the sake of easy comprehension, you don't need to learn lot of Sanskrit grammar and deep commentaries. Here is a book in which everything has been given the most wonderful terminology. Hitamidam upadesham adriyantam vihita nirasta samasta chitta doshaha bhava sukha virataha prashanta chittaha shruti rasikaha yatayo mumukshavo e. May those sannyasins who are seekers after liberation, who have purged themselves of all taints of the mind by the observance of the prescribed methods, who are averse to worldly pleasures and who are of serene minds and take a delight in the shruti, appreciate this salutary teaching. So again Shankaracharya is going. So who is capable of appreciating this Viveka Chudamani? It is people, in other words, sadhana chatushtaya sampanna. People who have got discrimination, dispassion, body-mind control, very pure endowed with complete faith in the words of the Guru and the scriptures, and they are capable of withdrawing their mind from any subject, of instantaneously plunging into deep concentration and meditation. For such people, this book will be of the highest use. Hitam, this is the greatest good anybody can get. Idam upadesham adriyantam, that means those who are longing, like thirsty people longing for cool water, and those who can appreciate, only they can appreciate. Who can appreciate food? Only those who are very hungry. Who can appreciate cool drinks? Only those who are very thirsty. Vihita nirasta samasta chitta dosha, completely destroyed all the impurities of their heart. What are the impurities? Kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya. And not only that, bhavasukha virataha, through long experience they know every pleasure in this world only creates a further strengthens the bondage, and I am not interested in it. There, accepting, I want only God. Prashanta chitta, nothing can really adversely affect them. Whatever be the circumstances, he will be absolutely calm, quiet, equanimous. Shruti rasika, they only want to hear about Shruti. Rasika means those who appreciate. They are experts. We don't want anything excepting studying the scriptures. Bhadram karne vihe shunyama devaha, bhadram pashye maksha vihe ejatraha yatayaha. Constantly they are striving. Who are they? Mumukshuvaha. Intense seekers of moksha. For them this is given. Samsara dhvanitapa bhanu kirana prodbhuta dahavyatha khinnanam jalakankshaya marubhavi bhrantya paribhramyatam atyasanna sudham budhim sukhakaram brahmadvayam darshayantyesha shankara bharati vijayate nirvana sandhayini. At last, by the grace of God and Guru, we have come to the last verse of this Viveka Chudamani. For those who are afflicted in the way of the world by the burning pain due to the scorching sunshine of threefold misery, and who through delusion wander about in a desert in search of water, for such people, here is the triumphant message of Shankara pointing out within easy reach the soothing ocean of nectar, Brahman, the one without a second, to lead them onto liberation. A beautiful composition. This is called Shankara Bharati, the teachings of Shankara. Two meanings are there. Shankara means Shiva. Shankara means Shankaracharya. And who is Shankaracharya? None other than Shiva, because he was born by the boon of Shiva himself, born in the form of Shankaracharya. Such great work, Vijayate, let it be victorious. Why? Nirvana Sandhayini. It is this work which will bring every mumukshu to God realization. How does it do? Darshayantyesha. By showing, my child, this is the right path. Don't walk that path. Walk this way. I will take you by hand if you surrender yourself to me and slowly lead you to that highest goal. What type of people? Samsara Advani, in the forest or in the desert of samsara. Tapa Bhanu Kirana, amid a sun burning relentlessly. Prodbhuta Dahav Yadha Kinnana, terrible thirst has been created by walking for many hours in the scorching sunlight. And for one drop of water, their heart is longing. Jalakankshaya, with the desire of having water. Marubhuvi Bhrantya, they have been searching all the time. Paribhramyatam, where? In this world. It is like searching for the water in the mirage. So we are all searching for God. But we are searching where? In the mirage waters. That means all the sense objects that we encounter from birth to death. But you have to run and run and run. The more you run, the more the mirage also is running away because it never existed there. But here is something. Atyasanna Sudambhudim. It is very near to Ati Asana. This tremendous waters that can cool you not once but forever. Samsara Tapa. Tritapa. Sudambhudim. This ocean of Sudha, Amrita, immortality. Sukhakaram. It will plunge you into everlasting bliss. Brahmadvayam. Named as Brahma, the one without a second. Where is it? It is just near you. Near you means in you. In you means you are that for which you are seeking. Swami Vivekananda has written a beautiful poem. Oh my mind, you searched the hills and dales, crying, oh Lord, where are you? And at last, a gentle voice came and said, Moko, kaha dunde re bande, mai to tere paas mein hoon. At last, we all realize, after all this being buffeted by the Tritapa, and we want to become free, we want to be swimming in the ocean of bliss forever, it is all near us, within us, and we are that. And this book can show the way for all of us without demanding anything, excepting that we have to be absolutely longing, we should be sincere, we should be pure, we should not desire anything. For such people, what happens? Darshayati Esha Shankara Bharati. This Viveka Chudamani, the work of Shankara. Bharati means here the work, the knowledge of Shankaracharya. Darshayanti Esha. So it will show you that highest teaching. Shank Vijayate. Let it be triumphant for all times to come. And Nirvana Sandhayini. Ultimately, we attain that ineffable bliss which is our own true nature. With this, we have come to the end of the Vivek Chudamani. From next class onwards, for a few classes, I am going to summarize for the benefit of, first of all, those who have not attended the earlier classes. Secondly, for the people who attended, but it has gone deep into the recesses of their unconscious and they do not remember what they have studied. Third, for people, yes, they have attended, they have remembered, but they can't know what is east, what is west. There must be an orderly way of teaching, and I am going to summarize in a few classes crystal clearly, so that if you listen even to those few talks, you will get the very essence of this, almost 600 verses of this most wonderful work. And I can tell you, Shankaracharya has written many works, but this is a work unparalleled in the whole world's literature, and giving such beautiful definitions, crystal clear, and everything that a person needs to reach God is available in this one book. With this, we close for the moment this Viveka Chudamani. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhur Muhuhu. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti.